50 Baptists that I think everybody should know, and this is number 22. We do have to catch up, and I kind of catch up today. I'll tell you that in just a minute, but let me read you a little excerpt from a story I read. In 1833, a little boy held his father's hand tightly as they filed past the coffin that held the remains of John Weatherford. John Weatherford was the last of the old veteran Virginia Baptist preachers. And as the little boy looked at the body of the old soldier, he noticed the stiff, bloodless hands that lay folded across his chest. And there were a peculiar white, rigid seams on the hands, and they made an indelible impression upon his young mind. In fact, he wondered for most of his life what he had just seen, what he saw that day. Years later, this little boy had become an eminent physician. Dr. White was his name. When towards the end of his life, he was able to learn what those scars were that he had seen so many years ago, but it was almost 60 years before he learned the story. So let's go back and talk just a minute before we discuss that, talk a bit about John Weatherford. He was born in 1740 into a Presbyterian home. He was saved as an older teenager, I think he was 18, and led to the Lord, interestingly enough, by Samuel Harris. Now, Samuel Harris, if you recall, is one of our 50 Baptists you should know. 2 weeks ago, Samuel Harris is the Virginia evangelist and pastor that was saved under the ministry of Daniel Marshall. Just kind of fascinating to watch what happens here. And the boy, John Weatherford, began a very serious study of the Scriptures in an earnestness to grow in grace. And he found in the New Testament the very plain fact of believers' baptism, not infant baptism. Remember, he's a Presbyterian, which would preach infant baptism. He had certainly been baptized as a baby himself. He was so surprised when he saw this in the New Testament that he believed that perhaps he had an inaccurate edition of the Word of God. Isn't that interesting? But he found his copy to be accurate. And in his confusion, he sought out the family pastor, the great Presbyterian preacher David Rice, in an attempt to understand the Reformed view of infant baptism. And at the close of the conversation, Pastor Rice said this. He said, "I perceive that you will be a Baptist. Go, and the Lord be with you." So at the age of 19, John Weatherford was immersed. He had an immediate burden for souls and began preaching, much like his mentor preached, Samuel Harris. About 20 years later, in 1733, in his early 30s, he was called to pastor in a different part of Virginia, Chesterfield County. And there, the long arm of the law and the state church threw him in prison for preaching without a license, and he would be in prison for 5 months. While he was in prison, he preached to his congregation at the door of the prison for as long as he was allowed that privilege. When they took that privilege away, he eventually preached to the grates of the jail window. And his enemies tried to put a stop to that. They also built an outer wall. You'll see that in just a minute. But an outer wall above the grates so he couldn't see his congregation. But then his congregation devised a plan to overcome that obstacle. And there was a handkerchief raised on a pole by someone in the congregation above the wall. And that was a signal that the people were there and ready to hear. He had a huge, strong voice, and he preached the word of God and salvation through the grates of the jail to his listening congregation and those that would gather there. This infuriated his enemies. Angry men rode on horseback through the crowd over and over, tried to disperse the crowd. Others walked through the crowd banging drums. Nothing would deter Weatherford, and most frustrating to his enemies, I think, was the fact that it seemed to bring greater crowds. Opposition seemed to bring greater crowds and results in the hearts of his hearers. In a rage, the constables stood on both sides of the windows with sharp knives, and as he preached, they slashed his hands and wrists as he preached to the grates. The blood of God's man ran down his arms, splattered against the wall. It even splattered on the people listening, and that had come to hear him preach. And Weatherford carried those scars from those vicious attacks for the rest of his life. Now we go back to that little boy, Dr. White, who grew up to be Dr. White. He had wondered for over 60 years what those white, rigid scars were. And now he found what they were. And when he found out, as a Christian, he called them the marks of the Lord Jesus, martyr marks of God's hero, honor to his memory and to all who have suffered for the kingdom of God. Just an interesting story about a little boy that would grow up to follow that story. Dozens were saved during this time while he preached from his prison in those 5 months. In one service, nine people were baptized in a night service after he preached. But it seemed like it would never end. The jailer insisted that all the jail fines be paid. In those days, if you went to jail, not only did you have to pay your fine for whatever your crime was, but then you had to pay room and board, because who else is going to pay that? Not the state. You're there eating their food. And so that amount of money was quite a lot. In fact, it was much more than anybody in his church could afford. But suddenly one day the fine was paid. And he, by someone who concealed his name, and he was set free. Rutherford always wondered, or he wondered for years, who had paid the fine. And only God in his providence would reveal who had risked so much personal danger to set him free. More than 50 years later, Rutherford was old now, in his 80s. It was long after the Revolutionary War. He had grown old and feeble, as I said. He moved to a different county. He moved to Charlotte County, Virginia, where he pastored a church. And the great patriot, Patrick Henry, also a Virginian, happened to move into the farm next door to Rutherford. They would talk a lot. They would reminisce about the days of the Revolutionary War and the fight, you know, the fight for liberty and freedom. And it was there one day when they were talking that Rutherford found out for the first time that it was Patrick Henry who had paid his fine and released him from prison. And what an amazing moment in history. Can you imagine that moment? God bringing those two together accidentally, and Rutherford finding out who paid that fine. But what's interesting about that is that Patrick Henry was probably an unsaved man. We're not aware that he was saved. But all those years, maybe he was saved later in life. I hope so, because he had this great testimony he was surrounded with. All those years, he watched those Baptist preachers. And now we know, years later, 200 years later, that Patrick Henry paid anonymously fines and court costs for many, many Baptist preachers during those years. He was watching. There's a lesson there for us Christians. They're watching our testimony. Unsaved folks are watching us, even when we think they aren't. When they're mocking us, they're watching us. And I just thought of this as we close. You might have gathered from this, and I hope you do, from what I want to present to you. But Virginia, out of all the colonies, may have been the most difficult, most impossible colony when it came to religious freedom. Virginia was a terrible place for Baptist preachers. The law and the state church were very, very heavy-handed. And God's men, though, continued to preach through the great persecution, and they proceeded to lead thousands of men and women and children to the Lord in spite of all this heavy-handedness. And I tell you that because I want to say in just a few short years, God would change the entire fabric of the colony of Virginia, where Virginia then became, in just a few short years, really the bastion for the cause of religious liberty. If you think about it, I think of four very quickly, four secular Virginia men who fought very hard for religious liberty: George Washington, James Madison, Thomas Jefferson, and of course Patrick Henry. Those are all Virginians. Those men changed our country. They gave us the religious freedom, literally gave us the religious freedom, or put in the Constitution the protection of religious freedom that we have today. And so God changed that colony almost overnight because of God's men just preaching, just doing their job, just in under obedience. And the reason I say all that is to say America's in a bad way today. Certainly, we're in trouble. We can't give up. We must know that God can change, and only God can change the hearts of these people in our country. And so I just would say to us, a challenge to us, to not give up. We're doing, as this church does, winning souls and discipling those souls. That's God's plan. And that alone can change what we see going on in the news every night. God can change our nation. And this memorial marker was put up in 1925, and it lists seven of the 43, and this is something I think is interesting, 43 Baptist preachers in Virginia went to prison previous to the Revolutionary War. And this among other things, that this says, it lists, you see Weatherford is the last one listed. You've got John Vassar, you've got different men up there that are famous. But it says there, in gratitude for the blessing of spiritual religion and freedom of conscience won through their sufferings, this marker is erected, 1925. And so I want to praise the Lord for John Weatherford, and really he represents these 43 Baptist preachers who went to prison, seven of them together. They were all seven in the prison at one time. I think that's what that marker is talking about. But I want to thank the Lord for these men and their testimony.